ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 12, Text Number 35. This chapter is entitled as Mohini Murti Bewilders Lord Shiva. Skanne, skanne retasi so pasya, atmanam deva mayaya, jadikritam nripasrishta, Sanyavartata Kashmala. When Lord Shiva had fully discharged semen, he could see how he himself had been victimized by the illusion created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus he restrained himself from any further maya. Purport. Once one is agitated by lustful desires upon seeing a woman, those desires increase more and more. But when semen is discharged in the act of sex, the lustful desires diminish. The same principle acted upon Lord Shiva. He was allured by a beautiful woman, Mohini Murti. But when his semen had been fully discharged, he came to his senses and realized how he had been victimized as soon as he saw the woman in the forest. One is trained to protect his semen by observing celibacy. Naturally, he is not attracted by the beauty of a woman. If one can remain a brahmachari, he saves himself so much trouble in material existence. Material existence means enjoying the pleasure of sexual intercourse. Yan maitunadi gruhamedi sukham. If one is educated about sex life and is trained to protect his semen, he is saved from danger of material existence. It's a very interesting episode of Lord Shiva's bewilderment. How Lord Shiva was bewildered by the Mohini Murti. And the interesting fact is, even though something is connected to the Supreme Lord, but if there is ideal curiosity, you know, that causes some kind of bewilderment. Lord Shiva had seen, when he came to Lord Vishnu, he spoke about how he had seen all kinds of incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But this one he had not seen. So therefore he said, I want to see this form. Like in the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam also we see, Markandeya Rishi was seeing Lord Vishnu. But then he wanted to see the illusory energy of the Lord. Of course, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that it was not that he wanted to experience, he wanted to see how illusory energy of the Lord works. But the problem is when we are seeing or experiencing, we get involved in it. So therefore, even though he was doing it for a right reason, but still he had to suffer. So similarly here, Lord Shiva, who is the greatest of the demigod, almost on the equal level of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he came to Lord Vishnu, Lord Vishnu does not create anything just for the sake of fun. There has to be a serious purpose in regards to running the whole material affair. Even when he comes as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, while performing his pastimes, there is also a reason for establishing dharma. When Krishna came as the Supreme Personality of Godhead to perform his beautiful pastime in Vrindavan, along with performing his beautiful pastime in Vrindavan, he also had the external reason to establish the dharma, to conquer all the demons and to re-establish the religious principle. Therefore, Lord Vishnu, when he came as Mohini Murti, there was a purpose. The purpose was to stop the demons from being very aggressive. So Lord Vishnu appeared as Mohini Murti, bewildered the demons and gave the nectar away to the demigods. And in this whole affair, Lord Shiva has nothing to do. He was not there watching how the nectar is produced, you know, how the demigods are going to drink the nectar, how the demons are bewildered by the Lord. He was doing his own service. But when he heard, the news reaches everywhere. Something wonderful. So this also reached Lord Shiva's ears. He was fascinated that I've heard so many incarnations, but not this one. Lakshmi had just come. No, she had come from the churning of the milk ocean, and everybody was bewildered by her. But she was very clear, I cannot accept anybody because some good qualities are there and some bad qualities are there. There is only one person who has no defects, and he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So she accepted the Supreme Lord. And all this affair, Lord Shiva was not there. He just came to drink the poison and then he went back again. That means Lord Shiva is known for not getting involved when you are not supposed to. Sometime in our devotional service, you know, we want to know everything about everything. I want to be here, I want to be there, I want to know about this, I want to know about that. So this curiosity or this dissatisfaction of not being involved in everything is a dangerous affair. Even as a devotee, sometime it is better not to be involved in everything. One can focus in one's devotional service. So Lord Shiva was setting that example. You can imagine such an amazing affair. The entire host of the demigods and the demons are churning. A very wonderful activity. But still, Shiva is not fascinated by that. Because he is beyond the demigods and the demons. Their interest was nectar. And Lord Shiva's interest was always contemplating on the holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But this affair of Mohini Murti coming caused curiosity in the heart of Lord Shiva. And therefore he came to Lord Vishnu. It is not that Lord Vishnu came to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva went along with Parvati and he glorified Lord Vishnu. Talked about how everything emanates from you. The cause and effect. You are both responsible. After glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a Paramatma, the super soul of all the living entities, then he presented, my dear Lord, this is what I want to see. I have heard that you displayed this amazing form, which I have never seen. Can you show this form to me? And Srila Prabhupada writes, Lord Shiva was thinking, it's okay, the demons were bewildered, but the demigods were not bewildered. So if the demigods are not bewildered, who are involved in the affairs of the world, and I'm not involved, so it is guaranteed that I will not be bewildered. So there is no harm in asking for this request. Of course, Lord Shiva knows Krishna can bewilder while not bewildering the demigods. So when he said that, Lord Vishnu was smiling and he was grave. The combined emotions were exhibited by Lord Vishnu. And Prabhupada writes, this was all joking affair. The humor is very much part of everybody's life. One cannot avoid humor. In the Ramayana also, when Shurpanaka came, Lord Ram and Lakshman were enjoying the humor. So they were sending her back and forth like a ball tossed here and there. But she, being a demon, was not understanding the principle of humor. Therefore Lord Ram told Lakshman, he said, one who does not know the Hasya Pragya should not be joked with. Now this joke is leading to disaster, causing danger to Mother Sita, punish her. So immediately Lord Ram, Lakshman, taking the clue from Vishnu, Lord Ram, he cut off her nose and ears. So here when Lord Shiva said, I want to see that form, so Vishnu was thinking, Bhava Gambhira. His disposition became very grave and serious. And Lord Vishnu was thinking, how should I bewilder Lord Shiva? It was very clear. He was not only wanting to show nothing happens just for the sake of happening. There has to be some purpose. Lord Vishnu is not going to give a display, just see me, and no purpose is done. The whole material creation is not that it is created just because there is no purpose. There is some definite cause. And without the definite cause, In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains the demons think that this world is created by nobody and has no definite cause. No, there is a definite cause. Every action, whatever happens in our life or in our surrounding, is not happening because it's like a machine. There is a definite cause. There is a powerful lesson to be learned. So Lord Vishnu is thinking, first of all, if I show my form, if Shiva wants to see, and if he has to be bewildered, then it cannot be done into the external energy. Why? Because external energy is controlled by Lord Shiva. That's his wife. And how can external energy bewilder Lord Shiva? It has to be done through my other energy. Therefore, Prabhupada writes in the 7th canto of the Bhagavat, why devotees fall? One reason is Vaishnava Prad. Second reason is negligence of one's sadhana. And third reason is Krishna's desire. But how do I know when I fall it's Krishna's desire? Or somebody asks Prabhupada, how do we know? Is it because of Krishna or is it because of my karma? He said, you will not know, only I will know. We should know, one should not be curious. So here Lord Shiva was requesting Lord Vishnu, can you show me this form? And Prabhupada writes, it is not that a woman's form disturbed Shiva, it was the internal energy of the Lord. And Lord Vishnu exhibited. And within no time, you can imagine the power of Maya, you are very much conscious now, aware of Krishna. And how long it takes to get bewildered? It is not that, okay, there is a long gap, there is, you know, inaction between being Krishna conscious and being in Maya. There is a big gap. It could happen suddenly, just like death. When death comes, especially in Kali Yuga, heart attack, you know, people are playing. I remember one devotee told, when he was working in this Bajaj company, one of his friends was playing cricket. And while playing, he was a pace bowler, fast bowler. And he was bowling, and before he could bowl, Maya bowled him. He fell down dead on the spot in the ground. No, he was alert, he was healthy, but then the material energy was so powerful, he was dead. So Maya is like that. So therefore, Shiva instantly, he glorified Lord Vishnu. He was very conscious that nothing will happen to me because the demigods were not bewildered. And next moment, what do we see? Lord Shiva is bewildered. And the bewilderment was becoming more intense, greater and greater. First there was attraction, amusement. And then running after that. And running in between all his disciples, his followers. And eventually it came to this stage of Lord Shiva. And of course Lord Shiva is glorifying Lord Vishnu. That is the greatness of Lord Shiva. He was not ashamed. It is explained that he was thinking, what a great master I have. Krishna is so great, he has the power to bewilder me also. He was not offended by Lord Vishnu. He didn't say, come on, I didn't expect this from you. Why? How could you do this to me? How could you put me in an embarrassing situation? As he glorified in the beginning, he went through the embarrassing situation and his glorification of Lord Vishnu became further intense. He said, wow, what a master I have. How great the Supreme Personality of God is. So therefore in bhakti we see that even though we are with Supreme Lord, even though we are in devotional service, sometimes there is a tendency. I need to see this. You know, when devotees travel to places where you are not supposed to be in devotional clothes. And people are curious. Let us see what kind of dress. This is ideal curiosity. It doesn't help anybody. Wanting to see one spiritual master, wanting to see a sannyasi in a dress where he is not supposed to wear traditionally, but the circumstance may force. And then we want to see, oh, I want to see how my spiritual master looks in pant shirt. This is not a very good desire. Therefore, here, Shiva was with Lord Vishnu, always constantly remembering Lord Vishnu. We can learn lesson from this. So, even though disciple may be with the spiritual master, but if that situation is not very, the circumstance, the surrounding, if it is not beneficial for our spiritual life, one should not desire for that. We remember once we were in Juhu beach. This was after the Sharad Purnima festival. Radhananda Maharaj had a meeting. He said, I want to chant. But we didn't expect, neither he expected, that Juhu beach is not as pure as we imagine. Any beach. It's all surrounded by many colleges. You know, and they were all there for doing their morning sadhana. All the young boys and girls. All around in the water, on the sand, everywhere. They were everywhere. So myself and Gaur Gopal, we were talking. He said, we are chanting. Not only that, we are doing some management, we are chanting. And we are chanting with our spiritual master. But still, this is not the place we want to chant every day. Because it's such a struggle to chant Hare Krishna. Why should oneself put in a situation we have to struggle to avoid the temptation? Rather, why not stay in a place which is favorable to Krishna consciousness? Krishna consciousness is not to avoid Maya. When we close our eyes while chanting Hare Krishna, we close our eyes not because we see Krishna, rather we are seeing so much of Maya, we want to close our eyes. So most of our time is spent on saying no, 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 no to Maya. But that is not bhakti in one sense. That is also done by the jnanis. That is also done by the yogis. You know, avoiding all the material temptation. But devotional service means, you know, our energy should be invested in not getting exhausted to say no to Maya. Rather, our focus should be invested in saying yes to Krishna. So therefore, it is but natural when we are surrounded in a wrong circumstance or a surrounding, even though we are connected, after the whole japa was over, Maharaj said, thank you, for helping each other, saving from the ajamil kandas here. So many ajamil kandas. So therefore, the ideal curiosity, when we go around, as Bhavanand Prabhu always says, Prabhupada told him once, he said, what is this looking here, looking there, looking here, looking there? When you keep on looking here and there, what will happen? You will go blind. The eyes are not meant to abuse. The ears are not meant to abuse. The senses are not meant to be abused. When the senses are abused to extreme degree, they become desensitized. They lose their real activities of engaging in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, it's a very good learning lesson. Similarly, Markanda Rishi, we read what a trouble he went through. Just because he wanted to see illusory energy, you know, for billions of years, he was tossed up and down, suffering. You know, just imagine being hungry for one day. We forget everything. All japa becomes very weak. Mala becomes almost like, you know, doing a powerlifting exercise. Why? Because the principle of hunger is very powerful. And not for one day, for millions of years, Markanda Rishi was suffering. For what? Just because he had this desire, I want to see Krishna's illusory energy. Therefore, in the pastime of Ramayana also, it is explained, now in the Bhagavatam it is explained that Lord Ram came to teach. He accepted the human form. Even though he is not ordinary human being, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He came to teach certain principles for ordinary living entities. And because he came to teach certain principles, it is explained when Mother Sita, she said, that deer is so beautiful. Ram is beautiful, but the deer is Abhiram. In one sense, she, of course, she is teaching, she is the Supreme Goddess of Fortune, but she is teaching a lesson to us. She found something more beautiful than Lord Ram. That's very dangerous. When you find something more beautiful than Lord Ram, what happens? Ram is separated from you, and even the Guru, Lakshman, is separated, and then you are thrown into Lanka, which is the material existence. And when you come to material existence, as Ravan said, nobody can come here. No living entity can come here. Nobody can come and save you. Forget. Anyone who comes here, he is my subordinate. He will never come here. Ram or anybody. How can he come here? Nobody can come. So therefore, when the living entity comes to this material world by his own desires, by his own curiosity to enjoy sense gratification, it's like being in the Ravan's kingdom. Nobody can come and save us. Anybody tries to come here, he is also caught. How can someone who is already bound can save other bound person? We need a spiritual master. We need the great acharyas to come. We need the Vaishnavas to come. They come to this world not because they are curious. Let me see how the material world is fascinating. Let me travel here. Let me travel there. They come for the real purpose. They come, they pick up the conditioned soul while focusing their heart, their mind, their intelligence in the spiritual world. So therefore, even though they come here, they are not affected by this world. They do their duty of rescue operation. They pick up the living entities, you know, and they go back to the spiritual world. So therefore, we see this is a very amazing pastime that Lord Shiva, the great personality, non-different. In fact, Lord Shiva is such a personality that his influence from creating this material world and freeing us from this material world, helping us to go back to the spiritual world, up to the highest level, when we are involved in Madhurya Ras, Lord Shiva is involved, just like the wind is involved. We were discussing this in Pune also, that the living entity is haunted by desires. There are limitless desires, but limited senses. I may want to eat, Radheshyam Prabhu was giving the example, I may want to eat gulab jamuns. I may eat 1, 2, 3. But my belly cannot handle more than that. But he gave the example, okay, if the doctor say, we'll remove, the pipe and connect it externally. You can eat the gulab jamun, and gulab jamun, after experiencing on the tongue, it is going through some other lane. Doesn't go to the stomach. That way you can enjoy more gulab jamun. But said it is not possible. That is not the only thing you are doing in the world, eating gulab jamun. Even though it may not go to the stomach and you can eat limitless gulab jamun, still it is a boring act. And then, even if you want to eat unlimited gulab jamuns, can you have the resources? You may have the money, who will cook for you? Nowadays people don't cook in the home only. They directly go to the hotel. So therefore, even you can do that, there are so many limitations in this world to fulfill our desires. It is not only the money. It is not only the capacity. Our surrounding makes everything limited. So therefore, there is a limitless desire, but the senses are limited. So when there is a limitless desire and the senses are limited, that is what creates the haunting of the ghost. What is ghost means? A ghost means who has unlimited desires but no material body. Therefore, they haunt others. So in this way, a living entity is partially a ghost. And therefore, he causes trouble to other living entities. A child is causing trouble to the parents. I want the toys. Limitless toys. The husband is causing trouble to the wife. Wife is causing trouble to the husband, and the disciple also sometimes causes trouble to the spiritual master. Why can't you fulfill this desire? Similarly, the willing entity goes to the demigods, the supreme personality of God, asking for so many benedictions. To such an extent, when the material desires are not fulfilled, the living entity takes to the role of being atheistic. Just see, that is called as haunting of a ghost. And Lord Shiva is so merciful that those who have material desires, but they don't have a material body, they are condemned by the material nature for getting that body of a ghost, what does he do? He is very merciful to such living entities. He provides, he is compassionate. He gives a body to that living entity by placing them to, they placing such living entities in the womb of someone who misbehaves. There are twofold activities. One is being punished and other is being compassionately dealt with. Those who don't have the material body, they are getting the material body. That's his compassion. And those who are misusing their material body, such living entities are placed. So this is how Lord Shiva performs his activities. And then slowly, slowly, because we have the material body, he creates this material world. His glance is, the Vishnu's glance is Lord Shiva. And Vishnu's glance, when it is agitated with the material nature, the creation takes place. So in this way, the Supreme Person, Lord Shiva, who is the incarnation of the mode of ignorance, he is so much involved in helping the conditioned soul to be freed from this material world. But still, here Lord Shiva is acting in such a wonderful way that his curiosity, that I want to see this form of your beautiful form, and he got bewildered. Therefore, Prabhupada in this purport and the other purport, he talks about that bhakti means not unnecessarily putting ourselves in a challenging situation. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulasya varjanam. How surrender is so practically explained, that Sharanagati is not something very fantastic which nobody could do. Oh, how can I surrender like Prahlad did? How can I surrender like Draupadi did? They were on the highest level of Sharanagati. But Sharanagati begins by what? Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in his bhajan, Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu. Lord Chaitanya also in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sharanagati is so practical that put yourself in a very favorable situation. Anukulyasa Sankalpa Pratikulasya Varjanam. That then avoid which is not favorable to Krishna consciousness. Our sincerity is judged by how much whimsical behavior we exhibit. When we take challenges unnecessarily, risk our spiritual life, risk our sadhana, then what happens? Naturally, because the material world acts like a machine, it does not care whether you are a devotee or not a devotee. Material world is made in such a way, if a devotee puts his finger in the fire, you can't say he will not burn. He will also scream like any other person. If a devotee does not brush every day, it is not that he is a transcendental, he still stinks. The foul smell will come also. If a devotee does not take bath like a materialistic person, it is not transcendental, he will also, you know, stink and will start acting unhygienically. So therefore the material world Krishna has created in such a way, he does not change the rule just because somebody has declared himself as a devotee and acts whimsically in the name of being a devotee. It will affect. It doesn't matter. The only advantage for such a devotee is that he has a protection of other devotees. They will say, come on, why are you acting so stupidly? A materialistic person has no facility. He is like an orphan. But the devotee has. But why take that all trouble to experiment how Maya works? Maya works whether we are devotee or we are not devotee. So therefore, we see the Pandavas. Now again, Pandavas' life is so wonderful that they acted as long as it was desirable by Krishna. Krishna wanted them to take part in the affairs of the universe, being the kings, being the administrators, and they performed their duties. While performing their duties also, they were extremely careful. After the whole battle was over, after millions of soldiers were killed, Yudhishthira Maharaj never said, he was never uncautious. He said, this all happened because of my desire. And therefore he came to Vyasadeva. He got so much of instruction from Vyasadeva. He got instruction from Krishna. He got instruction from Bhishmadev. And then eventually he performed a sacrifice to beg forgiveness from all the offenses what he did. He did not justify, I am a devotee, I have the rights to do, I can do anything and everything, and Krishna will protect me. Krishna will certainly protect, but he has his responsibility to do. And when Krishna went back to the spiritual world, when he got the news from Arjun, Arjun came and told, and Yudhishthira Maharaj could see that Arjun was lamenting so much. And he was not asking the question which he was supposed to ask. He was asking so many questions in a roundabout way. And then he asked that question of the separation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when Arjuna heard that, Arjuna started crying. Then he expressed that Vanchito Maharaja Harina Bandhu Rupina. My Lord Krishna is gone. He has gone back to the spiritual world. And because he has gone back to the spiritual world, we are like the body without the soul. So nothing fascinated to the Pandavas of this world, being the king. They could have said, we will continue serving Krishna. They had done their duties. There was somebody else to render service on behalf of Krishna in this material world. They had to prepare to go back to the spiritual world. And instantly Yudhishthira Maharaj, you know, breaking all connection to such people, they were not ordinary. How can you avoid affection for such people as Yudhishthira, as Bhima, Arjun, Nakul, Sahadev, Draupadi? But he did that and he walked away towards the Himalayan mountain. And Jiva Goswami explains Brahma Sampatti. They went back to the spiritual world in their self same body, because the body was no more an obstacle. We quit this material body because it's an obstacle for our progress to the spiritual realm. For the Pandavas, it was no more an obstacle. And because it was not an obstacle, it became a vehicle to go back. And they went back to the spiritual world. And this is what the Bhagavatam teaches. The Bhagavatam teaches not only entertaining stories. Of course, there is nothing mundane entertainment in the Srimad Bhagavatam or any of the scripture. The scripture prepares us that how to utilize our energy. Yes, we are in this material world. Sometime our energies are used in saying no to Maya. But all the time you are only thinking about avoiding Maya. We get exhausted. The bhakti process is not the process of saying no. The bhakti process is the process of actually experiencing bliss of practicing devotional life. When we practice devotional life in a positive way, then the experience of Krishna consciousness is freedom from burden. Otherwise it becomes a burden. So I need to chant 16 rounds. I need to follow the four regulative principle. I need to avoid this. I need to avoid that. Then it becomes so burdensome. And therefore to release that burden, sometimes devotees have materialistic entertainment. Oh, it's too much now. Let me go and watch a football match. Let me go and do this. Let me go and do that. As a bhakti is a very strenuous activity, and I need something else to release myself from the strains of devotional service. Krishna does not come to our life to cause burden. Krishna comes to release us from all the burden of material existence. Therefore, here Lord Shiva's beautiful example of curiosity and then further glorification of Lord Vishnu is a very interesting chapter. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Srinath Ji Prabhu, any comments? Yes. Yes, Radhishyam, comment.
Hare Krishna. There is a verse in Bhagavatam which says, Yat Pada Pankaja Palasha Vilasa Bhaktiya. So that verse says, if a devotee of the Lord is situated in the platform of ecstasy, then such a person can never be affected by the waves of sense gratification posed by Maya in this world. So we have heard that Lord Shiva is like an avaduta, always intoxicated in love of God, and oftentimes he doesn't have consciousness of his own body. So why did Lord take the example of such a personality like Shiva, who is almost like an avaduta, his example, to teach the world that one can be allured by Maya? You know, one, there could be some example of lesser stature, you know, some devotee of a lesser stature who falls prey to Maya. Because one who has reached such a stage is often, like we say, there are two types of people who are, you know, smiling. One is a pure devotee and one is a madman. You know?
Yeah, Prabhupada's purports makes it very clear. First of all, if you see from the story point of view, there is no bewilderment, because that Mohini Murti was not external energy of the Lord. And that's an internal energy. It's like, you know, Yashoda Mai trying to bind Krishna. It's on that level. But at the same time, because Bhagavatam nor any scriptures, for a practicing devotee, they give two levels of understanding. One is to be absorbed in Krishna's pastime. We could do that also with this same story. And second is to observe the activities of this world. So using Lord Shiva to prove that if this can happen, you know, Brahmaji is there in the third canto of Bhagavatam, right? And Brahmaji is in our parampara also. Of course, Prabhupada writes this was not the same Brahma. But whether it was same or not, Brahma, Brahmaji is Brahmaji. So using Brahma also, you know, running after his own daughter. So the point, whenever we read, Prabhupada writes that if this can happen to such a personality, how much one should be cautious in our spiritual life. Our scriptures, like Brajabihari Prabhu showed me one article, some Christian organizations are writing, oh, just see what kind of sages they have, what kind of characters they have, and they worship them. How could they be God? So they don't realize, they, because they're not learning the scriptures from Guru, their whole purpose is to diminish the faith in people. So therefore they select part of the story and they present. But here, Srimad Bhagavatam does not hesitate. You know, it is not that they found his story in some other book other than the Shastra. Shastra is not hesitant to present his stories. Why? Because it is not, oh, if we present his story, what people will think, their faith will be minimized, these are there in the scripture. Sometimes devotees say, how could Vasishtha do like this? How could Chandra do like this? How could Shiva do like this? Their faith gets affected. But we can't take part of the story. We have to see the whole spectrum. And the whole spectrum is that in the beginning or in the end, Lord Shiva's connection to Lord Vishnu is never diminished. Therefore it is explained, it is not the cause what has to be analyzed and, you know, given remarks. It is the effect. Making mistake is natural for the conditioned soul. No mistake is the quality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, it is called as Achyuta. Anybody else can make mistake by the will of the Lord or because of some kind of negligence. Therefore, this is certainly, this act of Lord Shiva making mistake is 100% under the domain of Vishnu's desire. And he could use them also. And neither Vishnu is sorry for that and not Lord Shiva is angry. So why we should be? No. Why not use this also to learn? And that's what overall Prabhupada's purport talks about in many places. Whether it is story of Kala Krishnadas, whether it is story of Yudhishthira Maharaj gambling. No, it's interesting how Yudhishthira Maharaj, we are discussing this, that when Shakuni asked, why can't you stake your wife? Now Yudhishthira Maharaj is a great devotee. Nala and Damayanti, they also went through this. Nala also lost everything, but when he was asked by the opponent, why can't you stake Damayanti? He said, he became very upset. He walked away from there, losing everything. He never made that mistake. But when Yudhishthira Maharaj asked, you stake your wife, not only he staked his wife, but in public assembly, it's a very amusing part in the Mahabharata. You can't avoid, the shlokas are there. He glorified Draupadi's every limb. in public as if she was a prostitute. No? This might cost this much money, more valuable than this jug. And then he staked Draupadi. So what is the learning lesson? The learning lesson, and who is he? He is Dharmaraj. Now, all the principle of dharma in this world, of right behavior from the wrong behavior, is established by, you know, him only. But then when he got involved in something which is not favorable for Krishna consciousness, like gambling, many reasons. So one reason is that however great you are, you should not gamble. Even if you are personification of dharma, gambling is a very dangerous activity. Radhananda Maharaj is saying, gambling means, you know, risking your life. You are gambling for something which is not. Sometimes it happens. Many devotees, you know, when they also gamble, it is not that the devotee will not lose money. No, one should not be innocent in such a way to the extent we become foolish. I am a devotee, so I can take the risk. No, the material nature works equally in regards to the effect, the reaction, the physical reaction. Yes, after that devotee may learn his lesson. Why should I have not done like this? But here, you know, Yudhishthira Maharaj went through this. Lord Shiva was used by. But we also understand Yudhishthira Maharaj did this again under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore Krishna can use anybody and not feel sorry about it. And those who are being used, they will not feel angry about it. So what's our problem? That is the point. Yes, Radhishthira.
Hare Krishna. That was a very nice, satisfying answer. You made a very brilliant and interesting point that we should not have this idle curiosity, you know. We find many examples of such curiosity in Bhagavatam also. Like Dhruva Maharaj going to forest to ask for the kingdom. Or we find Markandeya Rishi example you gave, wanting to see the material energy. In the same manner, we know that Lord is inconceivable. He is not easily accessible. But amongst devotees, there is always a curiosity for getting some vision of the Lord or something mystical beyond normal experience of everyone. One time I was in Mayapur, some pujari came and gave a flower to Jananivas Prabhu, you know. Jananivas Prabhu asked, is it from the hands of Champaklata? He asked. And the pujari said, yes, you know. Then immediately it became a big talk amongst devotees. You know, lot of interpretation and purports devotees gave. So, devotees are often found to be having lot of curiosity to have such kind of understandings rather than the normal philosophy. I wanted to request you to throw some light on that. Idle curiosity.
Yeah, therefore, a lot of nursing those stories are being circulated nowadays. You know, about what Lord Nursing Dev did. Removed the cataract, removed this problem, removed that problem. He could do it. There are such many stories. For devotees, you know, as far as my understanding goes, if you can correct me if I'm wrong, that these things do not stay for long. The excitement of these activities still cannot, you know, help us to overcome our anarthas. It may be an impetus for us to increase our sadhana. One can understand, okay, if Krishna can reveal himself, you know, accidentally or incidentally or with plan to someone, now how much more if I endeavor properly in devotional service, how much more experiences and realizations he can give. Therefore, again, I quote Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he actually pleased his father Yaksha, you know, went through a lot of fascinating story. All of your brothers are dead. And he revives them back because you answer a few questions. And then he said, what benediction you want? No, when you have gone through all this, you could have asked something fantastic. And Yudhishthira Maharaj asked for a very interesting benediction. He said, please help me to overcome Kama Krodha Lobh. And his father said, no, you are already free from that. He said, no, still. you know, I don't want to be misled by these three rogas, three difficulties. And he gave that benediction to him. And on top of that, his father said, when you go to this Ajnatavas, you will not be recognized. That was a side benediction for Yudhishthira Maharaj. So therefore, rather than being fascinated by these stories and making that as our focus, you know, some experiences, you know, some strange experiences, you know, flower falling. Kaviraj Goswami, when he writes that story, if you see how much he's cautious, you know, why he writes and why he didn't want to write, and ultimately writes because he wanted to prove the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. Otherwise, just speaking about this kind of stories, the personal experiences in our life, in a very, very public way, putting in the internet and the Facebook and everything else, and you go back home and you see your anarthas are the same. That has not changed. You still have to struggle. When you chant next day Hare Krishna Mahamantra, maybe you sleep more than previous day, because there is so much of imagination. So therefore, sadhana bhakti, you know, does not change just because you had certain glimpse of, you know, you flower coming from the hands of the Lord, or then, you know, some kind of recognition. He makes it so. I remember one time somebody asked Janani Ospur when he came here, why don't you tell some stories of Radha Madhav's personal pastime? And he would never talk about these things. Have you ever seen Janani Ospur ever say about his personal stories of Radha Madhav? He will say as if, you know, he had never had any story. So therefore, it's more important to talk about, you know, how I have a trouble in chanting Hare Krishna, you know, as Bhurijan Prabhu was giving that seminar. And he always talks, if you read his Japa book introduction, he said, while struggling myself as a teacher, I like to teach others. That's my nature to teach. And then while teaching, I also learn how to chant Hare Krishna nicely. He's not coming and sitting and saying, you know, I have a formula which I revealed. It was revealed to me 3 years back when I was sitting in Vrindavan. He speaks like his son was saying. His son said, Jai Gurupad Prabhu, when he heard his father speak, he said, what I appreciated more than being a wonderful speaker, he's such an amazing speaker. When he speaks, it doesn't go into your ears, it goes to your heart. But he said, what I appreciated about my father speaking is honesty. He's an honest practitioner. He was saying, he said, Dad, what affected me more than anything else? He's a great speaker. So when a devotee is honest and he presents in an honest way his own struggles and his solution for that struggle, they are more fascinating than some flower coming and falling in your hand. You know, some other, and it does not cause much excitement to people who are soberly practicing their spiritual life. Somebody giving a prasad. No, it could be accidental. Accidents do take place in this world. It could not be a special mercy. If I take it as a special mercy and lax my spiritual activity, that's very dangerous. If I take it as a special mercy and increase my sadhana, again, it is not based upon the action, it is based upon the response to that action. If Lord Shiva could respond to this action of Krishna, you know, bewildering him as mercy of Lord Vishnu, so worth going through such situation. But if by receiving some special mahaprasad of your guru for so many years, you know, eating all the mahaprasad, but you remain the same, you know, no change, rather you minimize your sadhana by saying, anyway, I have eaten so much of prasad of my spiritual master, it doesn't matter whether I chant, I don't chant. Better he would have never got mahaprasad in his life, because he's taking it in a wrong way. So therefore it is explained, one's activity should be just based upon how we respond. If the activity is good or bad, it has to be just based upon the response to that activity. And Lord Shiva is teaching again in this principle. Got bewildered by Mohini Murti, but Krishna, Vishnu, Lord Shiva responded in such a Krishna conscious way. It's okay, Radhesham Prabhu? You want to add something? We'll stop here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.